Long sermon. That's a joke. Although it might be a little longer than normal, so that's why I had you guys get up and say hi to one another, because I didn't want the middle seats to really affect your blessed assurance. Are we recording? We are recording. Okay, I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. The title of... Where'd Rob go? Oh. I hope that didn't get on tape. That'd be funny on the radio. Rob went to the bathroom. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. The title of today's message, for the note takers who are fast and furious on notes, you will really want to take the notes on some of this. The title is called Pathways to the Presence of God. Pathways to the Presence of God. Now, isn't that a nice title? That's got that nice, sermony, title-y kind of Pathways to the Presence of God kind of title thing going on there. And I want to say before I get this sermon underway that I am dedicating and devoting this sermon to my wife, Noelle. I believe this is one of the finest words that I've ever get to teach. If you don't think it's in the top two or three, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. I think it is. That's kind of what counts. And so I dedicate it to my loving and wonderful partner, who is the best wife and the best friend a guy could ever ask for. So it is dedicated to her. And if anything goes wrong with it, then I just go, hey, it's your fault I dedicated it to you. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 8, and this is in reference to the Levites. Well, when it says the word in chapter 8, verse 8, where it says they read from the book of the law, that's the Levites who did that. And while you're there, I'm going to pray real quickly. Lord, you know better than I that I cannot teach this word, what this is, and the power of this. I've got nothing. I have nothing to give anybody. But you have so much. And so we're asking that you take from what's in your word and use me as a vessel and bless your people and let what they hear make a difference in their life so they can get one step closer to you than they were when they walked in this door. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter 8, we're picking up at verse 8, says this: they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites and Ezra and Nehemiah are instructing the people in the Word of God. And what's happened, unfortunately, in a lot of churches and a lot of different religious groups, if people have taken the Word of God somewhere, and in this case it would be the Old Testament, but now it's still true, between Genesis and Revelation, and they read it, and right after they're done reading it to people, they close it, and they go, bam! And they smack them right on the head. And they bash their brains in with the Bible. And they try to make people feel guilty and bad and wrong. Oh, you're not doing this, and you're not doing this, and you're a bad this, and see this as this, and you don't do this. What a loser you are. And that comes out of a lot of churches. And here's the irony. And one of the greatest texts in reference to what the Word of God and the purpose of the instruction is, one of the single most well-known texts, Nehemiah says to the people, don't grieve. Don't be upset. Don't cry. This is a great thing. And in the people's minds, they're thinking, but we're hearing what the Lord wants us to do, and we're not living up to everything we're supposed to do. And Nehemiah's point is, yes, but you're hearing what the Lord wants, what He wants you to work on, what He wants you to step towards. He's not telling you this to beat you down. He's telling you this to help you get closer. The Word of God and the instruction of the Word of God is not to destroy your spirit. It's not to heap on you guilt. Mothers and mothers-in-law are for heaping on guilt, not the Word of God. That was a joke. It's a joke. The point is this. The purpose of the Word is not to destroy you or break you down to the point where all you get is, It's not Bible bashing, and the Bible is not supposed to be used for bullets to shoot people with your tremendous insight as to what the Word of God says. The purpose of the Word of God is to draw you closer to a relationship with God, to draw you to a better understanding of God so that you can interact. So Nehemiah is like, don't cry. Don't take this the wrong way. Learn what we're supposed to do. Grow in this. Develop. Don't beat yourself up. Don't be guilty on something God has not deemed you should be guilty on. He's just trying to teach you. He's trying to instruct you. When a parent teaches a child that they're doing something wrong, they don't do it so they can go, aha, you dummy, I told you couldn't figure it out, unless it's a terrible parent. What they're trying to do is say, no, don't do it that way. You do it that way, it's going to end up like this. That'll be a disaster. No, go this way. That's the purpose of instruction. And then he says the classic. And how do you not love this? See, I'm already having more fun than all of you. He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you grew up in the church, you heard that phrase. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You heard the joy of the Lord is our strength, and they even told you what to do to get the joy, didn't they? Didn't they tell you what to do to get the joy? Yeah, they had a song about it. They had a song about the joy of the Lord. That's right. If you want joy, you must sing for it. If you want joy, you must sing for it. If you want joy, you must sing for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So you listen to that dumb song, and you think, what? And then, what's worse, is they take you to verse 2 in that song. Remember verse 2? If you want joy, you must dance for it. Because this is going to, I'm feeling the joy of God now. Doesn't matter that I'm late on my mortgage and I can't pay my bills. I'm just so happy because I'm dancing and singing like a moron. This was the brilliance of the church in all of its... They come up with a song in Sunday school and tell us one of the most important principles and how you're supposed to do it is sing for it or dance for it. Or the best one in that song, by the way, was laugh for it. If you want joy from the Lord, you must laugh for it. And then the verse went, ha, 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 ha. And you're thinking, what is wrong with you? I mean, is that just, yeah, you that's way too much pot to be smoking. I mean, seriously. So the deal is that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's this tremendous principle from God, and they don't know what to do. What is that? What? What do you do? You have to understand it to get it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? That's part of this equation. I'm going to do you a little logic lesson. A equals B. B equals C. Therefore, A equals C. Kind of inescapable, you know, it's one of those, you know. Turn to Psalms 16. So see, I'm having much more fun than you, except that you did get that entertainment moment where I was dancing and singing. So you did get, you know, it's kind of like a night show or a nightclub show right there. All right, Psalm 16, just for you, honey. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. And you've got to understand, don't fall asleep on me, son. You've got to understand the connection and how important this is. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, what else do we need to know? And it's this. We're going to get into that logic thing. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. I'll give you three more seconds, and then I got to get there. Psalm 16, 11 says this. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Everybody see that? And I think the King James says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Something along those lines. Same thing. So on one hand, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And singing a song or dancing or laughing does not help us achieve it. On this other passage, it says, your presence brings about the fullness of joy. So we're going to do a little formula. And this is the key for you walking in strength. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the presence of the Lord is where the joy comes from, then you need the presence of the Lord to have the joy of the Lord to have strength. Everybody got that? It's not even that complex, even for me, and I wasn't good at math. It's this. You need the strength to walk the walk. Why? Have you been outside? Have you spent a week anywhere in the country? You need to know why you need strength to get through a week. You turn the television on for 15 minutes, you know we need strength. This is getting ridiculous. No matter what channel it is, it doesn't even matter. We need strength to make it. In order to get the strength, we need the joy of the Lord. In order to get the joy of the Lord, we need to be in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord produces the joy of the Lord, which produces our strength. Everybody with me? We're making sure everybody got that, right? Presence plus the creates the joy, and the joy creates the strength. Okay. Then the question is, I'm trying to keep it really simple, how do we find our pathways to the presence of God? Because if his presence is where the joy is, and the joy is our strength, what I want to know is what's the pathway. You know, oh, how do we get in the presence of the Lord? How do we get the fullness of the presence? That's what I want. That's why the message is titled Pathways to the Presence of God. Now, the way that you get there is through personal examination and exploration. Because what works for me may not work for you, which might not work for another person. So I just want to do a quickie highlight seven really quick ones on ways that people access the presence of God in different formats. And some of these may apply to you. Or you may have something completely different. Or you might be looking for something. Or maybe you've never tried some of these, and maybe you should try some of these, and maybe you would find that there's a little more access into the presence of God. Because why do you want to have the presence of God? Because it produces the joy of the Lord. And what does the joy of the Lord produce?
Strength.
So you need that. It's like, oh, this all works together. We're not too complex. Let's just talk about the first thing. I'm going to quote some passages and read others. But let's talk about the first thing that really is a wonderful pathway to the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Worship is one of the primary ways that people access the presence of the Lord. If God inhabits or dwells or lives in the praises of his people, then when you are a praising person, God's hanging out there and you're hanging out in the presence of the Lord. What are they doing in heaven right now? They're not sitting on clouds. They're not reading the same magazine over and over again. That's hell. Sorry. They're worshiping God. I mean, they're in a city with gold. This is, they probably got, you know, you can eat as much sushi as you want, never gain weight. You can probably plan it golf. They're playing golf. It's one hole. It's, you know, it's 9,000 par. It's like, wow, it's long. Yeah, well, it'll take a while. You get to go to steakhouses. You get to watch movies. You watch plays. Probably watch your favorite Laker game over and over and over again. See, I told you Magic Johnson was better. Bottom line to that, when you worship, you connect to heaven, where the presence of God dwells. That's a tremendous blessing. And sometimes people, you see people, David. Now, David, I'm not going to pick on you, but I'm going to use you for a little example. David's an emotional worship guy. Is that true? Yes. But it's his passion. If you asked him what is his pathway to the Lord, to the presence of the Lord, I got to go with 99.9% assurance that he'll go worship. Because he loves to worship. That's where he finds the Lord. That's where he finds his closest connection. Well, why is that important? Because that close connection to the presence gives him the joy, and that joy gives him the strength. Other people get a tremendous amount of experience with God in the Word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Some of these verses I do want to look at, and I am on a tight time frame, so I can only give you a limited amount of wait time before you get there. So 2 Timothy 3:16. But this portion is wonderful. So worship, that's the one of the pathways. And now we're going to see another pathway to the presence of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And then there's just these other ones that are just marvelous. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this. If you're not there, you can just listen or just get to it when I finish. But it says this: all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. What is God-breathed? God-breathed is the same thing it means when God breathed into Adam, who was a lifeless piece of clay. He breathed into him his breath, and Adam became a living being. The same breath that was used to create Adam was built into the Scripture, the breath of God. So when you read the Bible, and not, it doesn't happen for everybody the same way, but when you read the Bible, the breath of God falls upon you, and it's just like the breath of God falling upon Adam. New life emerges because you're having an interaction with God's very essence. Some people find the pathway to God through the Scriptures. I'm one of those people that find that more than not. I love getting the pathway through worship, and I love getting the pathway through the Word. Sometimes I'll read the Word, like I just did my double read in Leviticus. Not so much excitement. Not so much excitement finding about the mold and the priests and this. I don't care. See, I mean, I know it's important, but but then you get into when the spies go check out the territory and how they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. And they thought, though, they were grasshoppers to them and in our own sight, too. And you get a lot of insight into Scripture, how people functioned back then. They thought they were worthless. They were never going to accomplish it thinking they were grasshoppers. That just speaks to me. It speaks to me. It refreshes my spirit. I become alive. It's like, wow, that's so awesome. So the Scriptures are another way. Let's move this quickly. I'm going to read to you from Revelation. Just take the note down. This is Revelation, the part that I was telling you about. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says this, and let me read to you. There's a third way to access the presence of God. Another pathway is this. It says this: then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Listen to this. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Not only does worship connect you to heaven, not only does the Word of God connect you to heaven and to God's presence, but prayers, which are brought right into the very throne room of God, connect you to heaven by ripping and tearing the very fabric of the earth and allowing moments of heaven to pop through. So when you pray, sometimes you're praying and it's fervent, sometimes you're praying and it's liturgical, but sometimes when you're praying and you really get the sense this is really serious, that's the tearing apart of the fabric of earth and heaven sticking its hand in and saying, here's a connection right here. And you're like going, whoa, that's hot. Does it happen all the time? No, not for me. But does it happen? You bet. Sometimes you pray and it is good. Sometimes it's that one prayer where you go by yourself and you start crying and nobody knows. It's just you and God. That's a tear right there in the fabric of the earth, heaven reaching between the two. That's a pathway to the presence of God. We know of several other pathways. One of the most famous ones, Matthew 18:20. When two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus said. So we know that God's presence is here when we fellowship. When you hug and pray for one another and you listen together, you're learning together. There's a togetherness, there's a unity. Fellowship is another. Some people can't live without fellowship. They don't even care about worship or the word. They just want to hang out with the group. I just want to hang out. I love everybody. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's another path. You got worship, you got the word, you got prayer, you got fellowship, you got serving, being a Christ-like servant. You know what Jesus said? He said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations, and I am with you always. God is with his people that are doing his stuff. Sometimes serving as a Christian is a perfect pathway to the presence of God because you're reflecting Jesus, the servant. And God likes that, so he hangs out with you. That's good. Now you're being like me. That's a good thing. Now here's one I added to the list that I never would have added before. First time I've ever said this, ever. If Rob and Noah remember, I never added this before. But I believe after further study and review, creation. Notice I didn't use the word nature. Creation is another pathway to the presence of God. Because in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, God said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Which meant God was on the mountain. Which is like, what's he doing up there? Well, I don't know, he created it. I guess he wanted to hang out there and told him to come up there. Jesus went out into the wilderness, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of that experience, he came to his temptation, not the 40 days, 40 nights. So he was hanging out with God in the wilderness. What's God doing in the wilderness? He created it. I guess he could be hanging out there. Right? One of my favorites. So you got a pathway that's through worship, through the word, through prayer, through fellowship, through serving, through creation. Here's a big one. The pathway to God's presence. Ephesians chapter 2. 5 more minutes and we'll be done. You guys getting something from this? I hope you're learning. You learning something, John? So far we've talked about 6 ways to access the presence of God. And you think, well, and we're going to talk about the real conundrum in a minute. But it's like, if you're doing one and not trying the others, try the others too. God will talk to you and commune with you through these others. Ephesians chapter 2, this to me is one of the most important. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 says this. Referring to Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, referring to Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I think one of the ways that people have failed to access the pathway to God is through cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, relationship with the Holy Spirit, yes, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, where specifically Paul says, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Says it specifically, impossible to, you can't just go, it's not there. Yes, it is. It's in every version. You're supposed to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God. And that's the part of God that communes and lives inside you and empowers you and everything else. And oh, as just a reference point, because people have such a hard time with this, the Holy Spirit's also called the one who guides us. He will guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit's also called the counselor. So watch this. So your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is your guidance counselor. Guidance counselor. Come on, that's good. But the bottom line is, but come on, the idea is you should have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that accesses you to the presence of God. And accessing you to the presence of God enables you to experience the joy of the Lord, which gives you strength. Is everybody with me? Because wait, the 5-minute ending is the best part. This is the build-up. So we got accessing the presence of God through worship, through the word, through prayer, through fellowship, through serving, through creation, and through the Spirit. Those are 7 ways. If you're doing all 7 perfectly, I want to hang out with you. Because I go boom, 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 boom. I don't know about you guys. I do a lot of that. But here's the funny part. the tough part, the hard part. Have you ever noticed that if you're a person who's involved in any of those and you've experienced the presence of the Lord, which gives you the joy of the Lord, which gives you strength, have you ever noticed that it's here today and gone tomorrow? Have you ever noticed that you're doing great, my spirit feels great, I'm so happy, and then you walk out the door and you're like, well, oh shoot, and then it's just like gone. What happened? It's El Disappiro. And we have a common King David cry. King David said to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Have you ever experienced that? Where you've had that joy, you've had that presence, you've had that awesomeness of God, and then it's like 5 seconds later, somebody cuts you off on the freeway or anywhere else in California, and you just like, and then it's like all gone. Like, what happened? You know, like somebody stole your car while you weren't looking kind of thing. And it's like, look it, you don't want to know what happened? It's the oi of the Lord. It's the oi of the Lord. That's when you lose the J, the Jesus part. It's the oi of the Lord. Here's what happens. I'm not going to get into this long term. You don't need a long lesson on this. We got robbed. How do you not get that when you're in the presence of the Lord and everything's awesome, then some weird thing happens and your whole thing deflates like a bad tire? You got robbed. You got robbed. It got stolen. Well, who could have done such a thing? Who could steal? Could it be Satan? You know, remember the church lady? Right, she was right. It was Satan. He stole it. You think, why would he steal? Well, A, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I got to go in this long-range logic of the thief steals. It's a thief. I mean, of course it steals. That's what a thief does. And why would he steal your joy? Why would he do that? Well, because then he robs your strength. So there's only one question. This is the whole sermon is for this one moment. I'm all right. Under 30 minutes still. What do you do if your joy gets stolen and you lose your strength? What do you do to get it back? Richard, don't you love this part? You go back where you got it the first time. Again. Here's the key. You don't have to hear it. One other word but this. Ready? We go back into the presence of God 1,000 times, if necessary, to get it back and walk in it. See, what we do is I went to church and it was fun. I feel so good. I'm spiritual. It's great. The Chargers lost. Oh. And then you're all depressed. And then you order a pizza and the pizza didn't come out right. Now you're furious and you're ready to throw pepperonis against the wall and so on and so forth. Hey, I got a suggestion. Either go worship, read your Bible, pray, fellowship, serve, walk out with the Lord and what He's created, or spend time with the Holy Spirit and see if you can just recapture what was stolen from you. The key is you go back. You do it again. You say, well, Dave, what if he steals again? Then you go back into the presence again. Well, Dave, what if he steals again? Then you go back in the presence again. But what if he keeps on stealing? You keep on going back in the presence. But he could keep on stealing a long time. You can keep going into the presence a long time. It's up to you. Nobody's telling you you can't do that. Certainly God would never, ever tell you that. Ever. It's us. Something good happens. We love it. Some defeat comes along and we stew in our misery. Why? Because we're cranially challenged. It's absurd. You want to get the joy of the Lord again, go back in the presence of God again. One of those methods, one of those pathways, some other pathway. Well, it's so discouraging. Yeah, but the only solution is that solution. There isn't another solution. Go back again.
whatever it takes. Do you get that? You say amen?
Amen?
That's it. Let's just pray over this one real quickly, and then we'll have our little meeting. Father, just bless this word. Let our hearts and minds understand. We need to come back into your presence again. Come back into your presence so we can have the joy of the Lord, so we can have strength. It's not even rocket science, Lord. It's just following your word. Give us the wisdom, the understanding, and the tenacity that when things are stolen from us along those lines, that we go get them back with your help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, that was the sermon. That was a good one, honey, right? It's one of my favorites.